بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and a very warm welcome to this week and this month's brand new episode of Living the Legacy. On this month's edition, we head into a topic that many of us are talking about. The matric results came out recently, and schools are opening by tomorrow in most parts of South Africa. In other parts of the world, the new term has begun already, and much of the talk around the world during the month of January is all about a new school year, a new madrasa year, a new semester, the start of another academic term or year. So our focus, inshallah, will be about education. It will be about learning and the concept and principle of seeking knowledge. What does it mean to be a knowledge seeker? How does one go about seeking knowledge? And what are the etiquettes that are in place for a believer in seeking knowledge? How does seeking knowledge change our lives, the quality of who we are as believers? How does seeking knowledge bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All this and more is what we're discussing here on the program during the month of January on Tuesdays between 10 and 11 Central African time. A very warm welcome. Our theme, seeking knowledge, its importance, etiquette, how it impacts the quality of life and the mindset of a believer. Welcome to the program. On today's edition, we're going to delve into what type of knowledge should a believer be seeking, what are the tools for seeking or acquiring knowledge, and we're going to approach this from the angle of knowledge as a form of worship. I'd love to know your feedback on the topic. I'd love to know how, in your journey of seeking knowledge, be it Islamic or other knowledge, that has brought you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are some of the gems and on the etiquettes, the adab of seeking knowledge that you've held fast to? And are those etiquettes, are we losing those etiquettes as the years go by? Is there a change in the way we approach education and those who provide that knowledge to us? What does it mean to be a knowledge seeker, an ilm seeker, today and now in 2019? And if you are someone who is giving and sharing and disseminating that knowledge, what are some of the challenges that you face as one who shares knowledge, not just for the knowledge seeker, but for the one who also, while seeking, also shares? What are the challenges we face and have been facing as we share knowledge and as we educate going forward in 2019? Have things changed in years gone by? So we'd love to know your feedback on that. And what advice would you give to knowledge seekers, young and old? We know that in the time we're living in nowadays, that seeking of knowledge, there's so many different ways there's so many different techniques and methods, both online and on-site, a combination of both. There are self-study. How much of this influences you in your own journey of seeking knowledge? And what are your experiences and your insights on this topic? My name is Rehan Umar. A very warm welcome to the program and our theme, Ilm Quest, the path for knowledge seekers. So let's begin at the very beginning, and let's start by reminding ourselves, going back to the basics, of what it means to be a knowledge seeker and why it's so important and why we should not be underestimating the importance of seeking knowledge consistently all through our lives. If you'd like to be in touch with us, share with us your feedback on the topic, your concerns and challenges you face as a knowledge seeker or one who shares knowledge, I'd love to hear from you. You can drop us an email. It's hana@radioislamlive.com. Now, guidance and faith, hidayah and ilm, but they both need fuel, and their fuel is knowledge. So hidayah and iman, they need fuel, and the fuel for this guidance and faith is knowledge. But what type of knowledge? And that's the question many of us ask. We live in a day and age where there are so many schools and institutes and learning centers scholars, where there are opportunities both online and on site, that we're often overwhelmed with the number of choices we have available. And so the question, what type of knowledge? And the clear-cut answer is, and has always been, beneficial knowledge. علم نافع, knowledge that benefits. Knowledge that is helpful. Knowledge that is pure and good. Knowledge that has some khair in it. Ultimately, the best of knowledge is beneficial knowledge that will increase us in our faith of the unseen. So what does this mean? An easy reference is what many of us may know as Iman Mufassal, one of the articles of faith. We cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot see the last day right now and here. Nor can we see the messengers alayhimu salam. But we need knowledge. Now, contrary to what many may say, knowledge is not just for the brain. That really is a by-product, by-result. But knowledge is really for the heart. You see, knowledge is for the heart to make it alive. The heart, that is life. That is what we believe. Whatever the heart feels and learns and knows. Not necessarily what we see. The parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you and I for beneficial knowledge is like water that comes from above. It means our knowledge needs to come from above, that it is divine, that it is not touched by human hands. Now, when you first begin knowledge and seeking knowledge, think about how you feel. You feel excited, right, about the information that you're gaining. But as you go into it, you realize that it's not just about acquiring facts and information, that it is a life journey, that there's so much more to learn. Ask anyone who has embarked on a journey of learning their deen, and they will tell you, once I sincerely started seeking my knowledge of Islam, I realized how little I knew. I realized how much more there is for me to learn. So, when we first begin to seek knowledge, we feel excited about all this information that we're gathering. And as we continue, we see it as it is, a life journey. We see ourselves full of sins and shortcomings and a need to change and improve ourselves based on the knowledge that we're gathering. And in so doing, we see a manifestation of the mercy of Allah. Now, this period is critical because while some people will leave at this point, there are those that don't stop. You see, when it comes to seeking Islamic knowledge, and the more we learn, the more we realize that we have just but dipped our feet into the ocean of knowledge. So you get those who will be overwhelmed, who will be afraid, who may be hesitant, and who will literally close the chapter on seeking knowledge. They may be afraid. What if I can't apply everything? What if I end up being hypocritical? What if I don't need all of this? I just need the basics. But then there are those who see that when they come to realize that Islam is so full of lesson and meaning, and they come to realize that there is so much to learn about from our Islam, that they don't give up, that they continue seeking knowledge from Allah, that they are not turned away by a sense of feeling overwhelmed or insufficient, that their pride does not overtake them. And this is true faith. The more we discover our faults, the more we need to increase our dosage of knowledge. As we increase our dosage of knowledge, this is when we acquire and start the process of increasing in taqwa. And through this, our hearts are purified and we taste the pleasure of knowledge. We know that the previous seekers of knowledge were so dedicated that for food, they would actually just dip their biscuits in something warm so they could eat it faster, subhanAllah. They really literally had this hunger for knowledge. It is said that one student of knowledge was at his deathbed and he heard a hadith and he asked for his paper to write it in his notes, subhanAllah, on his deathbed. He hears a hadith and he asks for his paper to write it down in his notes, subhanAllah. I just want to pause at that point. And my question is, as we seek Islamic knowledge, whether it's you're seeking it through this medium of Radio Islam, whether you're attending a halaqa or a dars, whether you're attending a ta'aleem or a program at the masjid or an online course, how many of us are actively pursuing that knowledge with a conscious decision, with the intention of applying what we're learning, of remembering it, of sharing it, and of living that knowledge? And the reason I ask this is, I'm wondering how many of us still make notes? How many of us continue to take down notes when we go to a talk or a lecture or program? And whether you're writing the notes on paper or you're putting down a note on your tablet or phone, well, it doesn't matter. But the exercise and the practice of writing down notes. And I've seen it personally that each time if I'm writing down what I'm learning, there's a greater chance of me remembering it and sharing it and applying it. And when I have these notes, for me to go back on them. So having a system in place where you're learning, and as you're learning, you're making time as well to review what you've learned. And the only way that we can review is having notes, having a foundation to go back to. Another aspect is when we're writing down notes by hand, it wires the brain and the subconscious mind, making it much easier for us to remember what we've learned, inshallah. So a good tip that I would like to share with you, and that works for me as well as it has for a number of years, is keep a little notebook in your handbag, in your car cubby, wherever it is that you're spending a lot of time, keep a little notebook. I love to keep one, a little notebook in the kitchen as well. If I'm listening to a lecture or a podcast, a talk, a bayan, and I'm in the kitchen, I'm busy preparing a meal, but I'm listening, I love keeping a little notebook so I can make notes as I go along. Either reminders or something new that I've learned. And by writing it down, it's a form of recording it. So try it out and you'll be surprised about the number of gems and wisdom you gain just from one single lecture. So for acquiring knowledge, it's not about having a plan and saying, I'll become a teacher. Unlike in the dunya, when you get a degree and you say, I will be a doctor now, or a teacher, or a lawyer. Acquiring knowledge, when we look at this from the Islamic angle, is a form of worship. A form of ibadah, and believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-alim, al-hakim, al-fattah will open for you. Now the responsibility we will have when we acquire knowledge is great. And if we don't have the correct foundation, then that knowledge can be against us. And it can be a poison for us and to others. So as we set to seek out further knowledge, let's ensure that our foundation is strong, that our foundation is solid. And the question many people ask is, what if my foundation isn't strong? Does that mean I should not seek knowledge? And where should I start? So again, going back to the scholars in your community, requesting that they have a back to basics foundation program, class or course that people in the community can be a part of. And by connecting with a back to basics course, or even if that's not possible, going back to the basics is getting the primary level books, the primers of fiqh and hadith, and going through them, reviewing them. If you have learned it in the past, reviewing it again to see, what have I omitted? What have I not remembered or applied? What have I neglected or forgotten about the basics, whether it's about salah or fasting, or even about our aqidah and tawheed, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never asked to be messengers alayhi salam. And similarly, we say that students of knowledge don't ask to be teachers. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives it to them, who honors them with this. Nowadays, we find there are so many who are more interested in titles like scholar or da'i, etc. And may Allah protect us from this. Ameen. It is more dangerous to want these religious titles than dunya titles, because the first ones to be thrown in the hellfire are the ones who wanted to be called scholars, but not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from that. Ameen. So you will find that if our foundation is not strong, just like a house, if the foundation is not strong, there is a likelihood that that structure will not last, that it will cause damage. In the same way to our iman, go back to the basics. Go back to the basic principles of tawheed, of belief in the oneness of Allah. Go back to the basics of what we recite daily, the kalimas, the principles of faith. Checking in to see what is your understanding about the messengers of Allah, about the concept of the life after death, about the day of judgment, the angels, the messengers alayhi salam, taqdeer, and making sure that that foundation is solid and strong. So remember, it's not about knowledge first, but having correct manners. We do not want to be a fitna for each other, right? And being a seeker of knowledge means that you and I need to go to the knowledge. It will not come to us. The more we go to seek it, the more we will be given. Remember that. The more we go to seek knowledge, the more we will be given, inshallah. Now, when it comes to seeking knowledge, there are some gems and what we call the sweetness of faith in seeking knowledge. Now, many of us listening today, as the academic year is about to begin, or may have begun already in your part of the world, many of us are thinking, what shall I do to improve my knowledge, to increase my understanding of the deen, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of us are thinking about goals, knowledge goals or education goals we may have set last year at this time, but for some reason have not fulfilled. Others may be thinking about how far they have progressed in those knowledge goals in the past year. Wherever you are in your journey of knowledge, in seeking knowledge, don't ever feel that there is no hope or no chance. There always is. If your path to seeking knowledge is listening to one short lecture every week and making notes, and maybe that's the start of it. Perhaps your start to the journey, knowledge journey, is listening to the tafsir daily on Radio Islam and making notes and reviewing them. Perhaps it's going through notes that you have from a previous course that you attended in Islamic history. Whatever it is, start somewhere. Ask yourself, what resources do I have? What means do I have at my disposal now, today, this week, so that I can begin this journey? So, we're going to go for our first ad break of the hour, and when we return, we look at the gems of seeking knowledge, both the benefits and the value of seeking knowledge, and why it's so emphasized upon in Islam. Stay with us for more after this break. On the program today, we're talking about seeking knowledge. We find ourselves at the start of a new academic year or semester, most parts of the world, and much of the talk this month is about admissions, schools, colleges, universities, and studies in general. But even if you don't find yourself in a very formal setup of seeking knowledge, remember, there is no better time than now to start. And there are many gems attached to seeking knowledge, and there's great benefits and importance and emphasis in Islam based on seeking knowledge and the knowledge seeker. And that's what we're talking about today, with the hope that it inspires each of us to set out on a journey of seeking knowledge, knowledge which is beneficial, knowledge which will increase us in faith and in our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's begin. Our starting point is that seeking knowledge is a worship. Al-ilm ibadah. The scholars have said that knowledge is a secret dua or prayer in the heart. Subhanallah. The more you learn knowledge, the more it's impacting your heart. And seeking knowledge is one of the greatest worships after the fara'id. Better than the nawafil. Why? To seek knowledge is to struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is spreading Islam peacefully. There are many virtues to seeking knowledge. Even the angels lower their wings out of respect to the seeker of knowledge. The angels, the fish, the ants, they all make istighfar for the seeker of knowledge. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for his slave, Allah will make that person understand the details of the deen. Oh Allah, make us such. Ameen. But for many of us, our problem is ingratitude. And that's where we complain. We complain about the teacher or the students or the seats or the setup. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us for our gratitude. In Surah At-Tawbah, verse 122, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "And it is not proper for the believers to go out to fight altogether. Of every troop of them, a party only should go forth, that they who are left behind may get instructions in deen, and that they may warn their people when they return to them, so that they may be aware of evil." Surah At-Tawbah, verse 122. So we learn that the intention for knowledge is to lift ignorance from ourselves and others. What's the intention you're setting when you're seeking knowledge? Now, it's important to not seek revenge through knowledge. So for example, a spouse is upset with their better half and they'll say, "Here, I'm going to find the hadith and to make you feel bad." Subhanallah, Allah knows our intentions best. So let's not use our deen against each other. So the first point we said, to seek knowledge is a form of worship, a form of obedience to Allah, a way of remembering Allah and praising Him and loving Him. The second gem of seeking knowledge is any worship needs two things. Now, here's an easy way to remember them. They both begin with the alphabet I. Any worship needs ikhlas and ittiba, which is following the sunnah. That's what any worship needs. We all recite in Surah Al-Bayyinah, and this ayah is about ikhlas. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلُصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. And they were commanded not by but that they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone, abstaining from ascribing partners to Him, and perform a salah and give zakat, and that وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقِيِّمَةِ, and that is the right religion. So when you're seeking knowledge, your heart can turn to others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is better? To seek knowledge for 5 hours? Or stay at home, read Quran, pray, fast? Seeking knowledge because you are struggling more and you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with others. It needs dedication. Anyone who has sought out knowledge or is actively seeking knowledge, may Allah increase you in it, you know that it is a struggle. Even if you have the perfect classroom setup, the perfect teacher, you will still find struggle, struggle of the nafs, struggle of the community or society or those around you that you are learning with, struggle against the nafs and the willpower. With ikhlas, with sincerity and knowledge, you will reach a high level. But knowledge without ikhlas will be the lowest. I'll say that again. Knowledge without ikhlas is the lowest level. Now, I'm sure many of us have heard the word ikhlas used often when we talk about knowledge. And we're wondering, what then does it mean? Right? Why is ikhlas always mentioned hand in hand with ilm, with knowledge? So let's find out. Because we've discussed the topic of ikhlas many times, let's find out what can spoil our ikhlas. What can pollute that sincerity? The first is the love to be a known student. So where you want to be the teacher's pet, you want to be in the spotlight, and you want to be known among the other students. That's one of the things that can spoil ikhlas. Another is the love to be number one in the class. Right, so that you're always spoken of highly, that you have a good reputation with others. This can also spoil your sincerity. And part of this is when you have this love for others to look up to you and magnify you, make you look great. In Arabic we say ta'zim an-nas, right, where you're magnified by people. And that is something that's a feeling in the heart. It's not something you as the person will just see in yourself, but you will feel it. Ah, I feel great, I feel amazing when these people look up to me and praise me. Subhanallah. So that's something we have to be very careful of. It's a subtle way to creep into our heart and to spoil the heart and spoil that knowledge with ikhlas that is not pure. Again, it's to do with love in different forms. Another is the love to get gifts or money. We know that the righteous predecessors used to reject gifts from the rulers because they were afraid that it would affect their intention. Even in schools, there are many policies in some schools that do not allow students to give gifts to teachers. And this should be more so in the deen. Right? We don't want to affect the intention, the niyyah. Another thing that spoils ikhlas and that many of us are neglecting nowadays is the love to be praised, to have titles. So again, everything that spoils ikhlas is everything that takes humility away from us. When we're not humble, when we're not approaching that seeking of knowledge with humility, then the ikhlas is missing. Sincerity will be missing. Another aspect on what can spoil the ikhlas or the sincerity of a person is when we attend a class only to escape the dispraise of others. I'll explain. So, for example, someone might be unable to attend, so people will ask, why didn't you come? And so they put pressure on a person, and that person ends up lying, right? Not everyone's nature is the same. Some are shy, it's hard for them to say, and so you just attend the class so that others don't say something against you. That itself is not a way for us to approach knowledge. Don't just attend the class so that others say, ah, he came or she came, or to avoid others asking you why you didn't come. Be very careful of that. We are reminded in a hadith narrated by the Sahabi Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who acquires knowledge which is acquired to gain the pleasure of Allah, to secure worldly comforts, will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah on the day of resurrection. A person who acquires knowledge which is acquired to gain the pleasure of Allah, to secure worldly comforts, will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah on the day of resurrection. This hadith is mentioned in the works of Abu Dawood. So we need to be careful, very careful, because when we're seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at how heavy our books are, or how close we are to the teacher, teacher's pet or not. Allah is looking at our hearts. Now, someone might be acquiring knowledge for a certificate, and someone might be acquiring knowledge to be praised. Can you guess which of the two is worse? There's one person who is seeking knowledge so that they can get a certificate. And then there's another person who's seeking knowledge so that they can be praised. Which one do you think is worse? Let's go for our last ad break. When we return, I'll answer that question and share with you more on seeking knowledge. Stay with us. As we come into the last segment of this hour, we turn our attention, our focus to what are some of the basic tips that you and I can implement in our lives as we seek knowledge. And for that, we're going to look at something practical and remind ourselves of the adab of seeking knowledge. We hear many of our elders talking about adab, and that it's something that's missing in our day and age, that both adults and young need to be reminded of this. And we're talking about adab, or the etiquette of seeking knowledge. It has everything to do with spiritual productivity. It was related by Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. And this is mentioned in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Now, as with everything in our deen, there are proper ways of going about doing things. And, of course, we have certain ways of doing things, whether it is making wudu, whether it is salah, dhikr, fasting, hajj, etc. And likewise, in seeking knowledge, there are etiquettes too for us to apply. The first, and this has been the basis of today's program, is to have sincere knowledge, sincere intention. Why am I seeking this knowledge? What's my purpose behind seeking this knowledge? And so it's important to have good intentions based on the hadith narrated by Ibn al-Khattab, who said, I heard Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, actions are judged by motives or intentions. So each man will have what he intended. So what's your intention in seeking knowledge? Why are you studying or learning? Why have you enrolled for that course or class? So the intention. The second is to study or learn with ihsan, with distinguished excellence. So good intentions need good efforts. And we have to strive to study to the best of our ability and aim for excellence, not perfection. We know that scientifically and psychologically, research shows that perfectionism triggers anxiety, and that leads to procrastination. That it is not about perfection as insan, as a human being who is full of fault, but it is aiming for distinguished excellence as best as possible, to excel at what you do. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith recorded in Sahih Muslim, Verily, Allah has prescribed ihsan towards everything. We hear this hadith often, but at the time of Eid al-Adha, because it continues, Therefore, when you kill, kill in the best manner. When you slaughter, slaughter in the best manner. Let one of you sharpen his knife and give ease to his animal. And here we want to look at the opening of this hadith. Verily, Allah has prescribed ihsan towards everything. Imagine if we moved away from perfectionism and instead approached everything we did with excellence, with striving to be our best, to do our best. So the second point was ihsan, apply ihsan to everything that we do. The third is tawakkul. While doing our best, we must rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the results. So for us to think, I have the knowledge, or I am studying hard, I should be doing very well, that is a flawed thinking. It is that even the effort that we make comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while we're doing our best or trying our best, we must rely upon Allah for the results. We must trust that Allah will make things easy for us and that Allah will grant us success. Now, this is an essential part of the adab of seeking knowledge. And when we approach seeking knowledge with tawakkul, we are actually acknowledging that any success which comes our way is through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and is not a result of our efforts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, I am as my slave expects me to be. Imam Nawawi, rahmatullah alayhi, commented on this saying, the scholars say that expecting the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to expect that Allah will have mercy on him and relieve him of hardship. So the third point is to have tawakkul. The fourth principle is to eliminate, to delete bad habits or manners, and to stay away from sins and the route or pathway that leads to them. I'm sure you've heard of the famous story of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, who complained once to his teacher, Waqi', about his weak memory. And his teacher advised him to stop committing sins and told him that knowledge is the light of Allah, and Allah does not grant his light to sinners. And so you and I need to identify our bad habits, our bad manners, our sins, the route or pathway that leads us to sin. And we then need to work hard to eliminate them from our lives while seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. The fifth, and here's such an important point that many of us forget about in our knowledge journey, is to thank Allah. Thank Allah especially when you have learned something well or when you've completed your study. Thank Allah even if you experience difficulty or hardship in your study. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we are thankful to Him, He will grant us more out of His bounty. In Surah 14, ayah number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, And remember when your Lord proclaimed, If you give thanks by accepting faith and worshipping Allah, if you give thanks, I will give you more. But if you are thankless, verily, my punishment is indeed severe. So a recap of five aspects that we need to keep in mind as part of the etiquette of seeking knowledge. Have a sincere niyyah. Apply ihsan or excellence to everything you study. Study, but remember tawakkul as well. Remove bad habits and pathways that lead to sin from your life. And be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That brings us to the close of this week's live edition of Living the Legacy with our theme, Ilm Quest, the path for knowledge seekers, in which we began our series on trying to understand what type of knowledge should a believer be seeking and what are the tools that we need to acquire knowledge. I hope today's program allows you further insight into how knowledge is truly a form of worship. Join us next Tuesday again as we continue with the series, or catch this program as a podcast repeat later on today when it's uploaded on Radio Islam's website and SoundCloud account. Until we meet again then, Jazakumullah khairan for listening in, stay inspired and live your legacy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.